early in the morning, and then it's the namaz. Maybe that namaz is concluded with a tasbih. Again, a tasbih increases the reward of the prayers by 200, and maybe a dua is recited after that, so on and so forth. You find that by the morning prayers are done, a huge big number of hasanat are already sought. Then we start working throughout the day, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, services performed, works that we, tasks that we perform throughout the day, we find that a whole big bunch of hasanat are sought. And if a person was in Mecca, Allah says that if a person offers a 2-rakat prayer here, and the same 2-rakat prayer is offered in Masjid al-Haram, that prayer in Masjid al-Haram multiplies by 50,000. Or some riwayat say 100,000. So we find that we've already reached that target instantly. But why don't we get access to whatever our target was? The reason for that is there is a drain in where we are accumulating and storing all these hasanat. So what is that drain? That drain is all this filth and wrong that we have throughout our day, throughout our lifestyle, throughout our livelihood, not performing, not observing the haram and the halal of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We find that whatever has been stored, it just drains out. So we have to secure that drain, that why is everything just draining? So that stopper has to be seen. And what is that stopper again? Each one of us knows for ourselves best that what is wrong in our performance and why does everything just drain away? Again, this is one of those obligations which are mandatory on each one of us, that we have to look into our performance and what is and why everything is draining away. And if we don't secure it, no matter how much we do, everything will just be lost. Now what are these drains? These drains could be anything. All the sins that we do, the indecencies that we perform, the wrong in the community, the evil characters that we have, or one of the issues, it's destroying a community by having wrong. One of the hadiths from our fifth Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam says that that which brings man nearer to kufr is revealing and counting the faults of other mu'mineen that are in the community. So that one day we can blackmail them. Now blackmailing again, it's one of those huge great sins for which a punishment has been mentioned. And again, the jassus that Quran says, backbiting, talking behind mu'mineen, all these are those grave sins for which there is a punishment. Or elsewhere says that one who blackmails a mu'min, God will blackmail him, punish him in both this world and the next. So these are those things that drain, that whatever we collect throughout our lifetime, everything just washes away and is gone. So we have to fix ourselves, correct ourselves, secure that stopper so that everything doesn't drain away. And in this field, we have the best way is to seek assistance from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, and they are the best helpers in this field. Prophet Yusuf was afflicted in the prisons. He has a tawassul with the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and says, God, bihaqq abi, that is by the right of my father Yaqub, sought this problem of mine. Instantly, wahi is revealed that, Yusuf, why do you say by the right of Yaqub? What right did Yaqub have? What does he have? No right. I gave him 12 sons, one of the sons went missing, and he stood and sat and he complained and cried so much that he lost his eyes. So, no right. Says Yusuf. And this instruction was not only to Prophet Yusuf, to all the prophets, that if you want to plead, if you want to come to me, if you want to seek help from me, say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bihaqq Muhammadin wa Ali wa Fatima wal Hasani wal Hussein, say like that. And your pledges, they will be accepted. So, when it comes to acceptance of du'as, seek assistance from Ahlul Bayt. When we come to a dead end, outlet is Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Safinatul Husayn, awsa wa asra. No matter who you look in, whose performance you look into, all these different guidances that we have, if you analyze them, Aba Abdullah al-Husayn plays a part. Whosoever got guided through this ship of guidance, which is Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. And this is something which we learned from Ziyarat Jami'at al-Kabira. That says that, فَبِحَقِّهِمُ الَّذِي أَوْجَبْتَ لَهُمْ عَلَيْكَ. That is, by the right of them, that is the Ma'sumeen, that is the Ahlul Bayt. Or for example, if you look into the performance of Ma'sumeen, our fifth Imam, Baqir alayhi salatu wa salam, he says that we Ahlul Bayt, again, when we get stuck, we seek assistance from our mother Zahra. That is, when our children, when they have fever, what we do is that we dip our hands in water and then sprinkle this water onto the children who are afflicted with fever, with temperature, and says, Ya Ummah Fatima. And that is how we seek assistance with our mother Hazrat Zahra. Or for example, this Rabbana Atina Fid Dunya Hasana Wa Fil Akhirati Hasana Wa Qina Adhab An-Nar, that we recite. Marhum Imam Khomeini, he says that Rabbana Atina Fid Dunya Hasana means that, O God, give us the good Hasana in this dunya, means give us Fatima in this dunya. Or Wa Fil Akhirati Hasana, and in the Akhirah again, give us Fatima. That is that utmost and the maximum way how we can seek assistance with Ma'sumeen alayhi salam, and every dead end outlet is Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. Yesterday we mentioned that in that dua al-ahd that we have, if we read Allahumma in hala bayni wa baynahu al-maut, that God, if death intervenes between us and him, that is the arrival of the Imam, if he comes and we die, says that death which you have made mandatory, جَعَلْتَهُ عَلَىٰ عِبَادِكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا, which is destined to come, says, you raise me from my grave, فَأَخْرِجْنِي مِنْ قَبْرِي مُعْتَذِرًا كَفَنِي شَاهِرًا سَيْفِي. So you raise me from my grave with my shroud as my garment, as the sword of mine as the arms, so that I be in the service of the Imam of time. If we see how Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, for example, our sixth Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he teaches us this dua, and at the same time his desire and his wish is that he also be enlisted among the supporters of the Imam of time. Now the sixth Imam, he is the great grandfather of the 12th Imam. That is, he's the sixth Imam after our sixth Imam. He says, لَوْ أَدْرَكْتُهُ لَخَدَمْتُهُ أَيَّامَ حَيَاتِي. That if I was to perceive, if I was to see the 12th Imam, that is his great grandson, he says, I will spend the duration of my life serving him. So that is the wish of the grandfather for the grandson, that he too wants to serve him. And again, if you remember, it was mentioned yesterday that it is a great rank, that is why death must also not hinder between us and the Imam. That is, it's a great rank to serve the Imam, to be with the Imam. And that is why we find, it was mentioned yesterday, that if we pass away and the Imam comes after us, hadith from our sixth Imam, it says that إِذَا قَامَ أَتَى الْمُؤْمِنِ فِي قَبْرِهِ فَيُقَالُ لَهُ يَا هَذَا إِنَّهُ قَدْ ذَهَرَ. That is, the angel will come by our graves and say that he has arrived. That is, the 12th Imam has arrived. قَدْ ذَهَرَ صَاحِبُ فَإِنْ شِئْتَ تَلْحَقُ بِهِ. If you wish, you can join him. فَالْحَقُ وَإِنْ تَشَأْ تُقِيمُ فِي كَرَامَةِ رَبِّكَ. And if you want, you can just stay here and rest until the Day of Judgment. That is, to mu'mineen, that option will be given. Or for example, this dua that we recite throughout the sacred month of Ramadan, we say that, Allahumma adkhil ala ahlil qubur al-surur, That is, O God, gladden the dwellers of the grave. And this dua we've been reciting from the past 1300 years. So these du'as, a time has to come when it materializes, when it is accepted. And again, it is said that this du'a, again, it is a du'a ul-faraj, in a sense, in a way. That a day will come when it will be accepted. And when is that? It is when the Imam arrives. Because riwayah, they say that when the Imam comes, and it will be as such that as a token of respect, all the dwellers of the grave, from among the kuffar, munafiqeen, mu'mineen, all of them, that azab that is on the kuffar and munafiqeen will be relaxed for a while as a token of the arrival of the Imam of time, for duration of time. And again, it will be given continued after that. So this is what we find in du'as and riwayat regarding the arrival of the Imam. Yesterday, it was mentioned, there's a book, Siyahat al-Gharb, written by Marhum Ayatullah Najafi Uchani, and he talks about the life after death, his own life after death, and during his life. And again, he is among the ulama of the past century, just about 50 years ago. And Marhum Shaheed Mutahari, he says that I met him, I asked him that how did you write your own life after death in this book? He says it's all these visions which he saw, which are certified by ayat and riwayat, which have been mentioned. He starts the book that he has passed away. And there is a guide which he names him as Hadi in the book, and says that I died, and the first day of mine in Barzakh, there I was waiting, and all of a sudden this guide of mine, Hadi, he comes and says, get ready. I say to him, why? He says, the Imamzadas who you paid visit to during your life, they have come to pay a visit back to you. He is overwhelmed with joy, but how come? Now, someone who is all alone in Barzakh, in the life after death, how come they have come to pay a visit? And we did talk on this on a number of occasions, that whatsoever service a person does to Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, they pay back then instantly. They never keep anything pending. So he says that, come on, Imamzada means the progeny, the family of Ahlul Bayt, the family of the Imams, their sons, their daughters, the shrines of theirs that we have in Iran, in Iraq, and other parts of the world who have been buried, they are known as Imamzadas. The guide says, you paid visits to all of these Imamzadas, they are coming, they have come here, they are coming here to pay a visit back to you. He is overwhelmed with joy. Again, Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahjat, he used to say that if someone visits one of these Imamzadas, or if someone visits one of the A'imma on any spot of the world, it is as if he has visited all of them. It is because one family, it's as if... There's a book called Sirr bil-Maram, and it's a beautiful book which mentions about the noble and all of the beauties that they have, beautiful performances of theirs. Among those personalities that we can mention over here, it's Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sheikh Murtaza Hairi, the son of the founder of the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. He passes away in the late 90s. And among his beauties was that whenever he got an opportunity, he pays a visit to Mashhad. Mashhad is 1,000 kilometers from Qom. And in those days it was tough traveling to Mashhad. He traveled, and whenever he didn't get any ticket or a seat in the bus, he used to take a bucket with him, upturned the bucket upside down, and then sit on the bucket all the way till he reached Mashhad. That is one day. And as he grew old, his children, they used to say, you've paid enough visits, it's sufficient. He says, no, let me do what I'm doing. And when he passed away, and when he was seen after his death, the sons, they asked that, did these visitations you had to Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam? Says that, did these visitations that you had, did any one of them help you? Did they help you? He says, what do you say? I wish I came back to perform more ziyarat. It's just 2 or 3 days that I have come to Barzakh, and Imam has paid back all of those visits to me in just these 2 or 3 days. And they said that he had visited more than 75 times to Mashhad. So Ahlul Bayt, they never keep anything pending, outstanding. How much we serve them, all of that is paid back. So these ziyarat that we have, these majalis that we have, the respects that we have to them, all of that is paid back. So over here, Marhum Najafi Qujani, he says that I was in Barzakh, and all of a sudden I was said that Imam Zadas, they are arriving, and all of them came one after the other. He says, now what we said initially was that in the dua that Allah raise me from my grave with my shroud as my garment and the sword as the arms. Why? To serve the Imam of time, to help him out. And then he says that, yesterday we talked about Habib ibn Mudahir among the companions of Abu Abdullah. He says that all of a sudden I see an old man come by me. He says, who are you? He says, I am Habib ibn Mudahir. He says, I was much more amazed to see what great honor is being given to me over here. First of all of those Imam Zadas coming to visit me. And now Habib ibn Mazahir comes and takes the place of the guide next to me. And then he says, I saw Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas and Ali Akbar alayhi wasalam. They too are also present. He says that when I saw them, I was amazed. I saw that they've got the swords hanging round down their waist. And I was amazed that in here, in Barzakh, we don't need these arms. Why is it that they are armed here? And I ask Habib, what is this? Why are they armed? Habib says, it was the desire, the wish of the two to serve the Imam of their time, which is Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. And then says that those desires, those wishes of theirs did not materialize. They did not get those opportunities to serve. That is why they are waiting here in Barzakh for the Imam to arrive, for them to come and serve the noble cause of the 12th Imam. That is exactly what we just recited in that hadith, that our sixth Imam, he says that لَوْ أَدْرَكْتُهُ, that if I perceive him, if I see him, لَخَدَمْتُهُ أَيَّامَ حَيَاتِي, that I will serve my grandson, which is the 12th Imam, for the duration of my life. So there he says that because he is, and then he says, Habib is standing next to me, he says, I've got a message for you. To whom? To Mahmoud Qushani. He says, what is that? I've got a message from Hazrat Zainab. He says, what is that message? Says that she has said that we haven't forgotten all these ziyarat of yours that you paid to my brother Hussein. He says, not only that, she has conveyed her sincere salams to you, and she says that all those tears that you shed for my brother, discreetly, when no one knew that you are crying for my brother, all that is safe, all that is secure, and that will be paid back at its time. And then he says that man kibasham kibaram atir khat param khater atir guzaram lutf ha mikuni ay khak darat taj saram. Says that who am I? For me, such a great honor has been given by Ahlul Bayt for just these little things that I did during my life. That is, dust of your doorstep is the crown of my head. That is, dust of the doorstep of Masumi. He says that I was amidst this joy, that on one side I have Habib who is giving me these messages. In front of me is Abu al-Fazl and Ali Akbar alayhim as-salam. He says, all of a sudden my sight is struck to a little infant. A beautiful, delicate infant. He says, I saw the infant, so beautiful, so tiny, and there is a scar under his neck. And I say, who is that? Says, that is the Abdullah al-Radi, that Ali Asghar of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. He says, what is that scar? Says, that is that scar. It's that arrow that was shot to Ali Asghar. And those the riwayat, the maqatil, they say that فَذَبَحَهُ مِنَ الْأُذْنِ إِلَى الْأُذُنِ, that arrow, it sliced the neck of this infant from one ear to the other. He says, that mark, that scar has remained. He says, why has that remained? He says, because the avenger of that revenge, he hasn't come yet. It is a blood which, for the revenge of which it hasn't been taken. It will remain until the Imam arrives and the revenge has been taken. Then he starts pleading. And then he says that, worst of all, now he is someone in Barzakh seeing this world. For example, to understand this, it is like someone who is flying at an elevation, at a height, and he sees this dunya on a lower level, lower scale. He can have full focus of this world. He says, from that barzakh, I see this world. And there I find the Imam of time homeless, running from one place to the other. And then he says that, why is he like that? He says, that is what we find in our du'as. For example, Ziyarat Ali Yaseen, we find a phrase which says, As-salamu alayka ayyuhal murtaqibul khaif. Or for example, in this du'a that we recite on the Ziyarat of Friday, we say, As-salamu alayka ayyuhal muhazzabul khaif, that salam be upon you, the pure who is scared. Now why is Imam scared? Why should he be scared? Again, the interpretation of this Muhadzab al-Khaif, Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Bahja, he used to say that because Imam, with all the forces of enemies that are acting against him, he can't rest in one place. He has to change his location very frequently because his life is in danger. So as if someone who is homeless. Marhum Kuchani says that how I should be resting here in Barzakh in peace and my master be restless over there, he run around. So that is what we find in this dua, that Allahumma in hala bayni wa baynahu al-maut, that O God, if death intervenes between me and him, raise me from my grave. That is the dua that we have, the hajat that we have. Now, what do we do so that we become supporters, we become helpers, we become sincere servants of the Imam? First of all is that we have to increase this level of ma'rifah that we have with the Imam. That is, we have to know him, who he is. Just the ID of the Imam and his father's name, that is not sufficient. That is the basic information which we need to have. Ma'rifah of the Imam is that whatsoever the desire of the Imam is, should be our desire. It is exactly what we read in Dua Iftitah, that Allahumma inna narghabu ilayka fi dawlatin kareema, that O God, we desire, what do we desire? In that rule of the 12th Imam, tu'izzu biha al-Islam wa ahla, wherein you will grant dignity to Islam and Muslims, you will defame kuffar and munafiqeen, that you enlist me among those who serve the noble cause of the Imam of time. Now, when it comes to serving the Imam, we have to work for the Imam. Whatever he has said to do, to do. Whatever he has said not to do, not to do. Again, yesterday we mentioned some riwayat from the fourth Imam, from Amir al-Mu'mineen. There he says that it should be that the people of the end of time are the best of the people of every nation. Or elsewhere, the Prophet says that they are my brothers. Over here, I'll quote a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam, that Imam, addressing his own companions, he says that you are not my companions. He says, you are like thorns. Why does he say that? He says that if someone pricks his hand with a thorn, you need another thorn. In those days, they did not have tweezers. You need another thorn to take that thorn out. Imam says that one thorn hurts. The second thorn, which is used to remove the first one, it hurts more. Says, you guys are burden on me. You don't serve me, you can't serve me. Your presence, it's like that thorn which helps remove that other thorn. It's a pain on top of another pain. So, we have to fix ourselves that whatever the teachings of Ahlul Bayt are, we have to stick to that program, and that is A person comes and says, Imam, mata al-faraj? That when is the relief? When is the arrival of the Imam? And this person who was under the influence, under the oppression of Banu al-Abbas, or was waiting for his own relief, not for the relief of the Imam of time. Imam in reply says that, anta man turidu dunya, you are after your own relief. And then he says that, man aratha hadha al-amr, that whosoever understood this concept of intizar, waiting for the Imam, faqad furrajana. For him, the relief is already there, that faraj has already taken place. Whether the Imam is present or whether the Imam is absent or away from us, it doesn't matter. For him, it's the same. So, now what do? We have to know who the Imam is. Imam says, addressing, says, Ya Fudail, Arif, Imamat, you must know your Imam. Why should you know your Imam? فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ إِمَامَكَ لَمْ يَدْرُهُ. Say that if you know who your Imam is, you will never be at loss. And then he says that whether Imam, his arrival is hastened or whether it is delayed, it shouldn't matter at all, it should make no difference to you. And then says that if you die and before you and after you the Imam arrives, كَانَ بِمَنْزِلَتِي مَنْ كَانَ قَاعِدًا فِي أَسْكَرِهِ, that someone whose performance was so good and he worked for the Imam and he died before he arrived, it is as if he was in the tent and the camp of the Imam of time. He says not only that, لَا بَلْ بِمَنْزِلَتِي مَنْ قَاعِدَ تَحْتَ لِوَائِهِ, it is as if he is under the flag of the Imam. That is, if his performance matched and was compatible to what the teachings of Imam were. He says, no. Says not only that, بَلْ بِمَنْزِلَتِي مَنْ اِسْتُشْهِدَ مَعَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ. Says that it is as if someone who has been martyred in the service of Rasulullah, that great rank he possesses. So, ma'rifah, we have to know who the Imam is and who, that is the whole concept of imamat has to be understood. A person outside the house of our fifth Imam, he says that he hit another person, and from inside the house, the Imam, he says that, don't do that. Why did you do that? He says, Imam, do you see that even from inside and behind those walls? So that is that lack of ma'rifah. When it comes to Imams, we have to have that ma'rifah, the knowledge of the Imam, infallibility of the Imam, ismat of the Imam, all of that has to be understood. And again, Malik Ashtar, one of the sincere servants of Amir al-Mu'mineen, he possesses a ma'rifah, a knowledge, an awareness so high that he was only after performing and helping out Amir al-Mu'mineen. That Imam, give me a task, no matter where in the corner of which corner of this world it is going to be, I will just carry out the tasks and affairs, so that the burden is eased and relieved from the Imam. Not the burden on the shoulders of the Imam is increased by the presence of a few. So that is the first step, that we have to know who the Imam is, that ma'rifah has to be present. And when it comes to this ma'rifah, it means taslim, submission, a total submission, that whatever the Imam says, do it. Whatever he has said not to do, don't do it. That is taslim. And the definition of taslim, they say that kalmayyit bayna yaday al-ghassal, like a body between the hands of someone who is washing this body. Now what motion, or there is no motion in the body, dead body. He washes as he wishes, as he wants to. Says our presence before the Imam has to be like that dead body. If he says do it, do it. Don't do it. So that is that obedience that we have to possess. The second thing is that when it comes to the desires, the wishes, the wants of the Imam, our heart, it has to want and call the Imam night and day. That attachment has to be there with the Imam, that it has to remember the Imam of time. Marhum Ayatullah al-Uzma Milani, he says that at least half an hour a day we have to sit and speak to the Imam of time. Or elsewhere in some riwayat, they say that Imam, he looks at you 100 times in one day. That is, to each mu'min, he looks at us 100 times. So when he looks at us 100 times, So he is either pleased with our performance or he is disturbed. If he is pleased, his prayers are there. If he is disturbed, then his displeasure is there. Now, how do we pay back these kind looks of the Imam? One of the ways to pay back these looks is that if he has 100 looks at us during the day, we also pay them back at least by reciting 100 salawats with the Ajjal Faraj. It may well so happen for you that it may be tough to sit and recite 100 salawats in one go, although it doesn't take too long. At least split it 10-15 every hour so that those 100 looks that Imam has to us, they are paid back to the Imam. So that is the second thing. First of all, we have to know who the Imam is. Second, the desire has to be there. Third, hope. That is hope that in this era of ghaibat, which has just been lengthened so much, we have that hope that Imam, he will come. We have to have that hope that Imam is there. Without that hope, nothing materializes. And especially when it comes to mu'mineen, that special grace, that special mercy of Allah is there. It says that وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. When it comes to mu'mineen, Allah has His special share of mercy for mu'mineen. And because the Imam is rahmatun lil'alameen, that is, He is mercy to the world, He also possesses a reflection of that special share of mercy to Allah, and that is towards mu'mineen. Says, you do your task, and I will look after you. Marhum Allama Hindi, a lady, she passes away. She was pregnant. And the people come and say that, what do we do? He says, instructions are, go and bury the lady. As they were taking the lady to be buried, someone comes behind the funeral and says that instructions are that you remove the baby from the womb. They cut open the baby and the woman, and the baby was alive. Then they bury the lady. The lady was buried. They come to the Alim and they say that your instructions came to us on time before we had laid her to rest. He said, what instructions? My instructions were to bury her. He says, no, your instructions were to take the baby out, and we took the baby out. He says, from now on, I will never give any fatwa because of the blunder which had taken place, that I was about to bury a child that was alive. And then that instruction came from the Imam of time, to take the baby out. He says, shuts the doors of his house, that from now on, I will never give any verdict. Imam has instructions and says, you do your job sincerely, I will look after you. If there is a shortfall, those shortfalls will be made up and all those will be taken care of. So that is... So that is how Imam has that special sight towards Shias, and that is, we have to have that hope that we have an Imam who is protecting us. An amazing riwayat, we did recite them quite a lot, that Shiatuna qad khulqu min fadl tinatina wa ujinu bi nur al wilaya, etc. There is that special grace of Imam that is towards the mu'minin, but we don't seem to see what the reality. And Ustad says to his students that an ant was coming towards him. He places his finger before the ant. The ant stopped. He asks the students, what made that ant stop? One of the students says, it was your finger. The other says, it was your finger. Everyone said something. He says, you see the finger, you don't see me who has stopped the ant. It's the same thing with the Imam of time, that we have an Imam whose support is there, but we don't see all that grace and all that support of the Imam. And that has to be created in us. That is, first of all, we know the Imam. Second of all, that desire and want has to be there, that pain has to be there in us, that we want him. Not only when we get stuck, we get to the Imam, ask for our needs, and when it is eased, it's all done. That is a bad relationship we have with the Imam. And the third is that we have to have that hope. And the fourth is, and this one comes automatically, and that is the efforts, and that is to strive and to work hard, which we find in Dua Iftitah. That whatever the desires of the Imam are, should be our desires. If we have those three steps, this fourth step, it's easy to materialize. Or, for example, if you look into the du'as that we have for Prophet Musa alayhi salam, it says that Prophet Musa was to arrive 400 years later. But it was because of the du'as of Bani Israel, the ulama of Bani Israel, his arrival was hastened by 170 years. Ma'asum, he says that no difference over here, again, when it comes to the 12th Imam, his arrival also can be hastened, but only if you sincerely desire it. So the reason why everything is being delayed, it's because of our performance, or because we don't tend to remember the Imam as we should do. One of the du'as that we recite every day is أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. Our sixth Imam, he says that, do you know that Muzdar, the one who is distressed the most, who he is? He says, it's my grandson. He is the one who is the most Muzdar, who is the most distressed. And these prayers are the true applicable of this ayah is the Imam. And he says that the night, the morning of which he is to arrive, he will put his head in sajda. Says that he will recite this ayah, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ. So much plead and shed tears in sajda all night, and in the morning the instructions will be given to him, it's now time for you to move and to arrive. So the true applicable of this ayah is the Imam of time. If we see the maqatil we have, there is a phrase which says that دَخَلَتْ زَيْنَبْ بِنْتُ عَلِي عَلَى بْنِ زِيَادٍ. That is, Zainab, she entered into the courts of Ibn Ziyad. So this one sentence, it has nothing to cry for. But marhum Ayatullah al-Azma Shirazi, when the reciter was reciting a majlis in his presence, and he reads this sentence that دَخَلَتْ زَيْنَبْ بِنْتُ عَلِي عَلَى بْنِ زِيَادٍ, that Zainab, the daughter of Ali, she enters into the courts of Ibn Ziyad, he says, stop, that's sufficient for us to cry. Why is it sufficient? It has nothing to cry, there's nothing of musibat mentioned in that phrase. He says, now that is that ma'rifah which that great personality possesses, that is, Zainab, the daughter of Ali, who is Amir al-Mu'mineen, the first person of Islam, the granddaughter of the Holy Prophet, now she entering into the courts of that Mal'oon Ibn Ziyad says that is a disaster, and a person needs to weep for that one sentence of that is a great musibah. Zainab, who is all hijab, and her neighbor, who was her neighbor for 7 years, Yahya Mazani, he says that she lived next door to me, but I never found out what her looks were, what her height was. I never, as if she ever existed in this, she was a neighbor of mine. So for that one sentence, that great personality, he weeps because of that ma'rifah which he possesses. Now this Zainab, it should have been these days in Karbala, now this strong woman, the strong lady, who performs worship and nocturnal prayers, when it is the day of Ashura, she can hardly stand and say the prayers on that day. Now this lady, she is hunched and broken on the day of Ashura. And again the performance, it's amazing, says that the day prior to Ashura, it was her brother cleaning all the places around the camps, so that in the morning when there is a stampede, children, they are not hurt. Now she has a sword in her hands, and she is the one cleaning all those bushes around the camp, and tents that if there is an ambush, if two children come out, they don't hurt themselves. Zainab, throughout her lifetime, she has 7 journeys, 7 trips. And only on a few trips did she travel with honor, that is, with dignity. Now this was the worst of all the trips which she has, and she has to travel in that desperate way. When it comes to embark a camel, it is not easy, it's very tough. With all the means and methods you have to get onto a camel, it's not easy. She was assisted in all those journeys by the male members, and that is Abul Fazl and Ali Akbar, who assisted her to embark the camel. Now on this eve of Ashura, everyone, she helps to embark and get on the camels, but when it comes to her own turn, there is no one to help her. Zainab, that obedience she has, that submission she has to her brother, it's amazing. She says that, "Brother Hussein, you want me to be loyal, I will remain loyal. You want me to look after this household, I will look after the household." And after Abu Abdullah, this messenger of Karbala, she takes care. She is the one who brings back Abu Abdullah when he is knocked down. She is the first one who rushes out of the camps towards the battlefront where Abu Abdullah has fallen down. And Maqatil, they say that when she fled towards towards the pit, she fell down, she stood up. She fell down, she stood up. And with all the dust on the, she takes and throws onto her head, slapping her face, comes to Abu Abdullah. Now the moments which Zainab has seen, no one has seen. Especially the moments when Abu Abdullah is hit, is hurt, he fell in the pit, and when that mal'oon Shimr is seated on the chest of Abu Abdullah, the only eyewitness to that is Zainab al-Kubra, that no one else ever saw what that mal'oon did to Abu Abdullah. The love which is between the brother and the sister, the submission which she has to her brother, the obedience which she has, it is unparalleled and second to none. Abdullah bin Ja'far says that on the last moment, on the last day of Zainab, he says that I was amazed to see her performance. She says to me, "Abdullah, take me out in the sun, in the open." He says, "Why, Zainab?" He says, that she says that my brother Hussein died in the open, in the heat, on the ground, and you want me to die in a shelter in my home? Impossible. Says that he is taken out under the sun in that heat. And then he says, I was further amazed to see that she has something in her hand. She kisses it, hugs it, puts it onto her chest, repeats it over and over again. And then I see that she has given away her life. That is, with the shirt of her brother Abu Abdullah. Allahumma al'an awwala zalimin zalama haqqa Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad wa akhira ta'ban lahu ala zalik. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله اللهم لعنهم جميعا إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم عجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان يا الله count us and list us among those who are his true servants and supporters God when he arrives if we are alive keep us with him if we have passed away raise us to support him to assist him Ya Allah, our children, enlist them among His best supporters, among the best Muslims who ever existed. All those who are ill and ailing, grant them shifa. All those who have passed away, elevate their ranks. And these tears that were shed in love for Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, make them an asset of ours for our barzakh and the life hereafter. Wa'ajjal fi faraj mawlana sahib.
برادرز آپ سے گزارش ہے کہ تھوڑا سا آگے موو ہو جائیں تاکہ لیٹ کمرز کو آسانی ہو بہت زیادہ ایمٹی اسپیسیز ہیں اگر آپ لوگ آگے موو ہو جائیں پلیز پر محمد و آل محمد صلوات مجھ سے کہا گیا کہ دوبارہ سے ان اناؤنسمنٹس کو کر دوں کوئکلی نیکسٹ ویک سے انشاءاللہ روزے پیر منڈے وی آر گونا سٹارٹ ود دی صلاۃ مغرب اینڈ ایوری نائٹ اٹ سٹارٹس ایٹ 6:30 آن تھرسڈے انشاءاللہ وی ول ہیو دعا کمیل And then after Dua Kumil, Dars, Fiqh Dars by Maulana Muhammad Askari, Islamic Center of Mu'min, inshallah, after Salat al-Maghrib. Inshallah, from Friday, Ashray Arbaeen is going to start. And it's going to last till the 25th of January, which is Tuesday. So Maulana Muhammad Askari is going to give the speeches on the first half of this Ashra. Also, there's a home majlis announcements tomorrow at the house of Brother Mazhar Abbas. He is sitting right here. Contact him for the detail. Second one is on the day of Sunday, which is January 16th. And this is at the colony. This flyer is posted on the notice board, and the first announcement flyer posted on the notice board as well.